Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Well, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelites, brothers and sisters. All right. Yeah, we've been in the book of Exodus here on Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, your host. And my broadcast repeats, you know, in logs and stuff like that is on talkshoe.com/TC/135369, and you can look under WW for Word for Word, and my written stuff is on Anglo-Saxon Israel under Anderson's Old Testament, and some of the stuff is not updated yet. Exodus is one of them. I have to get the new file to Eli. It was earlier work that was done while I was under lockdown and with primitive typewriters, and it didn't scan real well. And now that I'm out in a free man in the free world here in Edomite land, we're redoing it on computers and updating everything and correcting any of the little errors that I just couldn't pick up. I didn't have any equipment. So now I do. So we're going to do Exodus 8, 9, and probably 10 today. These are quick reads. There's not a lot of law giving or anything. Sometimes it's just stuff that's been fulfilled from Genesis, what he said. Right now we're in the middle of the portion where Yahweh's going to really just do a heavy duty spanking job at Pharaoh's expense. He's really going to put it on Mitzrayim. And he said that he was going to do this. He told Abraham he was going to do this many, many years ago. Now, this is way beyond Abraham's time than the time of Moshe. And he's taking care of this. We are bound by time, but Yahweh is not. Time is here for us to measure our progress. But time is nothing to Yahweh. So, there we go. No more smart comments on the chat room, Eli. Oh, man, we got a crude. And hello there, one Israelite. Good morning. And Marilyn in the background and Mom in the background. I'll see you all later today. And I was particularly heartened last night by Pastor Mullet's new show again. There are a few computer glitches. It takes time to get all this ironed out. Nobody gets paid at EFR. This is all volunteer because of our love for our fellow Israelites. That's what this is all about. And getting the word out, the truth out to uninitiated, uncircumcised ears, people that have been stuck in Judeo-Christianity. And Pastor Mullet is a welcome addition to EFR. We've got a really great crew here. Pardon my bronchitis in the morning, but such is life when you get old. Let's get started in chapter 8. Yahweh is going to be speaking to Moshe, and he's going to start these plagues on Egypt. It's going to be unpleasant for them because they are against Yahweh. So, without further ado, this is chapter 8, verse 1. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe. Say to Aharon, stretch forth your hand with the rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Mitzrayim. And Aharon stretched forth his hand over the waters of Mitzrayim, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 3, did so the magicians with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Mitzrayim. Said Moshe to Pharaoh, glory over me, that's glory 6286. When shall I entreat for you and for your people to destroy 3772 the frogs from you and your houses, so that they remain in the river only? Said he, tomorrow. And said he, be it according to your word, so that you may know that there is none like Yahweh Eloheinu. Now, Eloheinu means our divine being. That's a possessive, plural possessive. 7. And shall depart the frogs from you and from your houses and from your servants and from your people. They shall remain in the river only. Went out Moshe and Aharon from Pharaoh. Cried out, 6817, Moshe to Yahweh because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. Verse 9, did Yahweh according to the word of Moshe, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. Verse 10, gathered together they them in heaps, and the land stank, 887. Oh, can you imagine that, a bunch of rotten frogs? Oh! You know Yahweh's got a sense of humor. You know that. Because he puts up with us. He's got to have a sense of humor. 11. But when saw Pharaoh that there was respite, 7309, he made heavy, 3513, his heart, and did not listen to them, as had said Yahweh. This making heavy of the heart means strong or of great weight. They've translated it, hardened his heart. That is not accurate. That is not accurate. There are other words for that, but the 3513 is heavy or important, and that is an accurate translation, not hardened. Verse 12, said Yahweh to Moshe, say to Aharon, stretch out the rod and smite the dust, 6083, that's afar. smite the dust of the land, so that it becomes a gnat swarm. 3654. That is the correct usage of 3654. It is a gnat swarm, regardless of what they have in the King James Version. King James perversion. It is gnat swarm, 3654, throughout all the land of Mitzrayim. If you've ever been walking through the woods and get into a swarm of gnats, you know how horribly irritating it can be. And they're so bad up in the northwest, in Alaska and in all those territories, that they will get in the face of a grizzly bear. They've documented, they've photographed this, and drive that grizzly bear crazy. And it runs around and it's swatting in its face and dives in the river. And that's the only way you can get rid of them, is to go and dip in its head under the water to get these gnats out of its face. They are maddening. So that's what happened here. Verse 13, and they did so, because stretched out Aharon his hand with a rod, and smote the dust of the land, and it became gnats upon Adam, 120, and upon beasts, 929, two-legged and four-legged. All the dust of the land became gnats throughout all the land of Mitzrayim. Now, Yahweh can make anything into anything. He created the entire universe. And mankind thinks they can try to equal Yahweh with their science. Well, verse 14 tells you what happened here. Did the magicians their enchantments to bring forth gnats, but they could not. So no matter what satanic chant they did, they couldn't do it. So there were gnats upon Adam and upon beast. Now the word Adam is in here because it's 120. Not man. Man is a gender specific. That's all it is. These were Adamites, but they were wicked Adamites. We have wicked Adamites today. Some of our worst enemies of true Israel is other Adams. But they hadn't mixed at that point. Verse 15, then said the magicians to Parao, this is the finger, 676, of Elohim. And Parao's heart was strengthened, and he did not listen to them, as had said Yahweh. This Hyksos king. Verse 16, said Yahweh to Moshe, rise up early, that's one word, 7925, rise up early in the morning and stand in the presence of Parao. Lo, he comes forth to the water, and say to him, thus says Yahweh, let my people go, so that they may serve me. Verse 17, because if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms upon you. 6157. And upon your servants, and upon your people, and into your houses, and the houses of the Mitzrayim shall be full of swarms, and also upon the ground, 127, Adamah, the the soil they are on. Verse 18, and I will separate 6935 in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people live, that no swarms shall be there, to the end, or for the sake of, or to make known to you, to the end, 4616, that you will know that I am Yahweh in the midst, 7130, of the land. Verse 19, I will put a ransom, 6304, between my people and your people. This sign, 226, shall be tomorrow. Uh-oh. Tomorrow's going to be a bad day there. Did so Yahweh, and there came a grievous swarm into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Mitzrayim. The land was ruined. 7843, by the presence, 6440, of the swarm. The makeup of the swarm is not actually given in the Hebrew text, but they were by the river, and they had all kinds of pools and backwaters and swamps and all this other stuff by the river. Okay? Mosquitoes seem likely. Now, if they put that in other versions, that's their opinion. I'm telling you that it's likely. But that doesn't make it a fact. It is not given in the Hebrew. Regardless of what other texts say, they've inserted their opinion in the text. I will not. It says swarms and swarms only. It does not say what type of swarms. Okay? And ruin, 7843, is a correct word, because the swarms got into everything and life was made absolutely miserable. It got into their food. They'd open their mouth to take a breath or say something, and these bugs would fly in their mouth, and they'd got in their ears, and they'd get in their eyes, and they're up their nose, and just all covering everything, driving their animals crazy. Just, you know, little things. You can't get them all because there's so many of them. It's just horrible. Well, this is what happened. Verse 21. And Pharaoh called for Moshe and for Aharon and said, go you, sacrifice to Elohim. Now that means your divine being, your God, in the land. And said Moshe, it is not set up, 3559, to do so, because we shall sacrifice the abomination, 8441, of the Mitzrayim to Yahweh Eloheinu. We're talking about sheep and stuff. And that was just, they hated that. Shepherds were outcasts. You didn't associate with shepherds. Very low caste. They didn't eat the sheep or any of that. They had their own livestock. We shall sacrifice the abomination, 8441, of the Mitzrayim to Yahweh Eloheinu. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Mitzrayim before their eyes, And will they not stone us? 5619, stone us, to stone to death. That's what that word means. Verse 23, we will go 3 days' journey, 1870, into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh Eloheinu as he shall say to us. Said Parao, I will let you go so that you may sacrifice to Yahweh Elohechem in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. 7368, far away. Entreat for me. Verse 25, and replied Moshe, behold, I go forth from you, and I will entreat Yahweh so that the swarms will depart from Parao, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Parao deal deceitfully, 2048, any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to Yahweh. And went forth from Parao and entreated Yahweh. 27. And did Yahweh according to the word of Moshe, and he removed 5493 the swarms from Parao, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. Not one bug. The bug isn't in there, just not one. That's all it says. 28. And made heavy Parao his heart at this time also, and he would not let the people go. Now, when they were talking about the abomination, they said that sheep herders were abomination back in Genesis, in the story of Yosef. When they brought the brothers in who were sheep herders, they ate separate. They set them in a separate table because they wouldn't eat with them, because they were considered low caste abominations over the sheep. Now, I don't know why the Egyptians didn't like sheep, but they didn't, evidently. So that's the story of why they considered them abominations, and the sheep were abominations. And it was hot in Egypt, and they didn't need to wear wool coats. They'd been real happy if they lived in a cold climate. Oh my. Let's start into chapter 9 now. Verse 1 through 3. You can reference the book of Yashar. That's Jasher in English. Chapter 80, verse 6. And verse 12. Natch is correct. You can reference Yashar. Chapter 80, verse 10. And in verse 15, you can reference Luke 11:20. So there's your references. I don't want to forget that. And I'm going to get up. I've got to figure out how to get this file to Eli so he can update the version of my stuff on Anglo-Saxon Israel. I mean, the stuff that's on there will do, but it's a more primitive version from back when. And there's new. I'm redoing all this stuff and making it right in a nice typeface. And, you know, bolding. All the words of Yahweh are in bold. And it's just a much better format. But it takes time, you know, and that's what I do. I hammer on it every day. And I love every minute of it. The closer I get to Yahweh, the better I like it. Chapter 9, verse 1. Said then Yahweh to Moshe, go in to Paro and tell him, thus says Yahweh, Elohe the Ibrim, divine being of the Hebrews. Ibrim is plural for Hebrews. Comes from Eber. Let my people go so that they may serve me. Verse 2. Because if you refuse, 3986, to let them go and will hold them still. Verse 3. Behold, the hand of Yahweh is upon your livestock. 4735. Which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep, there shall be a very grievous pestilence. 1698. Verse 4. And shall Yahweh separate, 6395, between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Mitzrayim. And nothing at all will die that is of the children of Israel. Verse 5, appointed Yahweh a set time, saying, tomorrow shall Yahweh do this thing in the land. Verse 6. And did Yahweh that thing on the morrow, and all the livestock of Mitzrayim died, but of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Verse 7. And sent Parao. In other words, he sent somebody to look. And behold, there was not one of the livestock of Israel dead. And the heart of Parao was made heavy, and he did not let the people go. This is the hand of Yahweh doing this. Because when he finally brings them out, he's showing his power, not just in Mitzrayim, but all the nations of the Canaanites, where Israel, when they finally leave, are going to have to go. They're going to hear about all of this, and they're going to be afraid. That's the reach. He's getting his glory on Mitzrayim and fulfilling his prophecy to Abraham that he was going to do this. He does not lie. Verse 8. And said Yahweh to Moshe and to Aharon, take to you handfuls. That's 4393 and 2651 combined, handfuls, of ashes, 6368, of the furnace. Now, I have put the word brick in front of furnace here in italics because it does not stipulate, but they were makers of bricks and they had to burn the brick to harden them in the brick furnace. And that's the furnace that they are referring to. But I put it in italics because it's not actually in the Hebrew. And that separates it so you know that that is an insertion for clarity. And the furnace is 3536. And let Moshe sprinkle, 2236, sprinkle it toward the sky, 8064, in the sight of Parao, and it shall become become small dust, 80, that's the Strong's number, 80, small dust, in all the land of Mitzrayim, and shall be a boil, 7822, breaking forth 6524, with boils 76, upon Adam 120, and upon Beast 929. Now we're talking about their slaves, non-white beasts, two-legged beasts, throughout all the land of Mitzrayim. Now, what is a boil? It is a pore in the skin that gets infected, and it goes down underneath, and it gets a boil under the skin, and it's extremely painful. So this is the process. Verse 10, and took they ashes of the brick insertion, furnace, and stood in the presence of Parao, and Moshe sprinkled it upward toward the sky, and it became a boil, breaking forth with boils upon Adam and upon Beast. Verse 11, and could not stand the magicians in the presence of Moshe because of the presence of the boils, because the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Mitzrayim. Verse 12, and strengthened Yahweh the heart of Parao, and he did not listen to them, as has spoken Yahweh to Moshe. He told Moshe he's not going to listen until the very final plague. He's going to do all these things, and he's still just not going to listen, because I'm going to get my glory on Mitzrayim. Verse 13, and said Yahweh to Moshe, rise up early in the morning and stand in the presence of Parao and say to him, thus says Yahweh Elohe the Ibrim, let my people go, so that they may serve me. Verse 14, because at this time I will send all my plagues, 4046, upon your heart, and upon your servants, and upon your people, so that you will know that there is none like me in all the land. Verse 15, because now I will stretch out my hand, so that I may smite you and your people with pestilence. 1698, and you shall be cut off, 3582, from the land. Verse 16, however, 199, for this reason, that's 5668 and 2063, I have made you stand firm, 5975, in order, 5668, to show 7200, to see, to make you see, or to show in you my power, 3581, and so that my name may be declared, 5608, throughout all the land, not just Mitzrayim, but all over the place. You're going to be talking about what Yahweh did to Mitzrayim. Verse 17, and still, 5750, you exalt yourself, 5549, against my people, that you will not let them go, exclamation point. He's vehement, he's angry. Verse 18, behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, 1259, such as has not been in Mitzrayim since the foundation, 3245, of it until 5704 now. verse 19, therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, every Adam and beast that is found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. Verse 20, he that respected 3372, to fear or hold in awe the word of Yahweh among the servants of Parao, made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. What was left? There are a few things. When they say all of them died, that's a magnification in the style of the writing of the Hebrews. They wrote that way. They all died. Well, no, they didn't all die. Just almost all. 21. And he that considered 7760, that considered not in his heart the word of Yahweh, left his servants and livestock in the field. Verse 22. And said Yahweh to Moshe, stretch forth your hand toward the sky, so that there may be hail in all the land of Mitzrayim, upon Adam and upon beast and upon every herb, 6212, of the field throughout the land of Mitzrayim. This included grass that was fodder for what was left of the livestock. Verse 23, and stretched forth Moshe the rod toward the sky, and sent Yahweh thunder, 6963, which means a voice. So that would be the voice of the storm, the thunder, boom, and hail. And the fire went along the ground and rained Yahweh hail upon the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 24, so there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. Mingled is 3947. Very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Mitzrayim since it became a nation. Verse 25, and smote the hail through all the land of Mitzrayim, all that was in the field, both Adam and beast, and smote the hail every herb of the field, and broke every tree of the field. Ooh. 26, only in the land of Goshen, where were the children of Israel, was there no hail. Verse 27, and sent Parao, and called for Moshe and Aharon, and said to them, I have sinned. 2398. Now that particular type of sin is to fall short of the mark of duty. He has missed the mark of duty. I have sinned this time, 6471. Yahweh is righteous. Of course he is. 6662, and I and my people are wicked. In other words, evildoers, 7563. Verse 28, entreat Yahweh, because it is enough, 7227, so that there be no more mighty, 430. Same word as Elohim. Means mighty ones or mighty. doesn't always mean divine being, and it means mighty, mighty ones. Thundering, 6963, again, voice. And it can be translated, if you wish, divine voice. But in context, it's mighty thunderings and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Verse 29, and said Moshe to him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad, 6566, my hands unto Yahweh. He raised holy hands and called upon Yahweh. And the thunder shall cease, 2308. And there shall not be any more hail, so that you may know that the land is Yahweh's. The cattle of 1,000 hills, all the land is Yahweh's. We just get to use it for a while. Verse 30. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear because of the presence of Yahweh Elohim. Verse 31. Was smitten the flax and the barley because the barley was in the ear. That's in the spring of the year. And the flax was in the bud. 32. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten because they were not grown up. Planting time. That's when this occurred. Verse 33. And went forth Moshe from the city of Paroah and spread abroad his hands unto Yahweh. And the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the ground. 34. And when saw Paroah that the rain and the hail and the thunder ceased, he sinned even more, and made heavy his heart, he and his servants. Verse 35, and was strengthened the heart of Paroah, and he would not let go the children of Israel, as had spoken Yahweh by the hand of Moshe. Well, I can see by the time it took to do these two chapters that I'm not going to have time for chapter 10. I don't want to get into it and then have to quit. But let's elucidate a bit on chapter 9. Yahweh is using Paroah, as he's used evil people all through Scripture, to make a point. He's gradually humbling the mighty Mitzrayim. It's the biggest, strongest, baddest bunch around. They are the number one country at that time. So he's taken them down a number of pegs. And everybody all around that area is going to hear about it, because he knows that he's taken Israel out of Mitzrayim, and they're going to have to travel through all these lands, and you will see that even though they heard about what happened in Mitzrayim, a lot of these Canaanites and the Edomites in particular are not going to fear Yahweh. It happened there, but it's not going to happen here. And we're going to do what we're going to do. Well, these same people are the ones that plague Israel today. Esau always hated Israel, and his descendants hated Israel. And I gave a whole list on one of my shows on Esau Edom, all the instances in the Bible where they were cruel and enemies of Israel, and all the instances in the Bible, Old and New Testament, where Yahweh says he hates Edom. And it was a big laundry list of occurrences. It took a whole show to give them all, because it's just full all through the chapter. Well, he hated Edom then, and he hates Edom now. And Edom is again persecuting Israel. Well, this is going to come back on Edom. They're going to do all, like I said, that's right. Plagues are a lot like the ones in Revelation, Shar, you're correct. And he's going to bring these plagues back on Edom. But verse 6 in chapter 9, you can reference the book of Yashar, that's Jasher. Chapter 80, verse 25. Verse 10 in chapter 9, you can reference Revelations 16:2. And the book of Yashar, 80:27. And verse 16 of chapter 9, you can reference Romans 9:17. And verse 24, you may reference Revelations chapter 8, verse 7, and chapter 16, verse 21. And the book of Yashar, chapter 80, verse 30. We are going to see a repeat of all of this in our days, preceding the return of Yeshua HaMashiach. And he's going to be coming back with flaming fire. This is not going to be a bake sale for the Jews. It's going to be a lot of cooking going on, but the term crispy critter comes to mind. And we're speaking of the Jews, and I'm grabbing my other scripture book here. And I really can't read this enough, because it's a description, and I want to read this to give heart and courage and encouragement to my fellow Israelites. Yahweh's got this. Yeah, it's bad. It's supposed to be bad. These are the days of Jacob's trouble.